I just had occasion there just over a week ago to take a friend of mine into the hospital who was very unwell. And this was at about 8 o'clock on a Wednesday evening. And just the emergency department was chock-a-block. There wasn't room to move. There was nowhere to sit. The staff were just completely overwhelmed with the numbers they had to deal with, and that was, you know, the nurses, the doctors, the radiographers. They were working in conditions that are just really, to my mind, not acceptable in a modern society.
And, I mean, they do their absolute best, but, you know, particularly when you're dealing with health and medical decisions, it's a, you have to be operating in an environment that's as stress-free, I would presume, as possible.
Well, as free as possible. I mean, I think, obviously, everyone in life makes mistakes, no matter who they are, and doctors and nurses make mistakes as well as everybody else. But the chances of making a mistake are significantly increased if you're working in adverse conditions, such as the staff there have been working in for far too long, and not just in this hospital. The same is true nationwide. And I think unless we as a nation and as a country face up to the fact that this is an unacceptable way to deal with the problem of provision of healthcare, then we're going to continue to increase the potential for mistakes.
When you were in there with your friend, who I hope is okay, there was 25 people on trolleys from the INMO. That's we see that regularly. It's been as high as 38, 40, 43, and so we can only imagine what it must have been like on those days as well. Did you ask around what it's like when it's higher than 25, Doctor?
I didn't specifically. You know, I've worked in that hospital for a long time, but in a separate department.
Okay.
But I know a good few of the staff there, mm-hmm. and I know what it's like when it's busy, because you can tell from the number of people that are, if you like, hanging around, and just to walk from one section of the emergency department to another, you were literally tripping over people who were sitting in corridors or standing because there were no seats for them to sit. These would be, you know, relatives or friends of patients, and it's just those conditions to work in are, to my mind, unacceptable, and we really need, as a nation, to decide what we're going to do about it. I mean, I would liken the situation, for example, that we don't get angry about it anymore. Some people get angry now and again, and they have an appearance like this particular one now on your radio program. But I think that we, as a nation, have not got angry about this. If you look at, for example, the amount of time and energy and action that was put into the campaign to prevent water charges, whether you agree with water charges or not, if you look at the campaign against it, there was a huge amount of time and energy devoted to that by the public with the support of a lot of politicians.
To the point it couldn't be ignored.
To the point that it couldn't be ignored. Mm. But we've never seen that sort of action by the people against the poor quality of services being provided in the health sphere.
You see, Doctor, we discuss this regularly on the station. We broadcast the Trolley Watch figures pretty much on a daily basis. And, of course, we talk regularly about the escalation, the protocols that have to be put in place. And even us having this conversation, I know there will be people listening at home going, oh, they're not talking about this again. And maybe that's part of the problem. It seems, and we sort of concluded in a conversation with the INMO last week, that it seems unless you're directly affected by a visit to the ED or someone that you know is, then you don't really realise how bad it is.
Well, I think that's exactly right. And we are very good at brushing things under the carpet and ignoring problems until it directly affects ourselves. Now, I think, you know, for the vast majority of people who end up in the ED department, they get, you know, very good care eventually. they may not get it immediately they arrive. And the miracle to me is that the staff continue to provide such a good level of care in the circumstances in which they have to operate. Again, there are a lot of factors behind this. It's not just an emergency department problem. I think, you know, as a society, we have changed. The population has got older. There are much more elderly patients now than there were, say, 20, 25 years ago. Demand for healthcare has got much higher. Expectation of quality of healthcare has got much higher. But what has happened is the facilities to deal with that have not been put in place. And in fact, our bed numbers as a nation are way down compared to what they were 20 years ago. And in comparison to virtually every other European country except Britain, our bed numbers per 1,000 population is about half of the European average. And, you know, we've got to face that that is a fundamental fact. And until that fact is addressed, and dealt with, we are going to have this problem.
Yeah, and but the problem is now, well, not a problem, but that what's happening now is we have a report on the future of healthcare that's being waved around every time we have these conversations. But, I mean, obviously, in fairness, it was only published last week or the week before, but when is it going to be acted upon? I mean, this is not something that we can sort of kick down the road. It's something we need to be starting to address right now.
Well, I think if, no, I haven't read all of that report that you refer to, but I've read summaries of it, and my understanding of it is that it's very high on a wish list of things that should happen, but that it's not very practical at giving the costings that are necessary to provide the outcome that they would like, and that if that's the case, then it's not going to happen. You know, we have to cost these things, and I think, you know, we as a people and as a nation have to think, you know, if we want a better health service, then we have to be prepared to pay for it. And I think that, for example, if I was offered a 5% cut in my income tax rates over a year, or be guaranteed a first-class quality health service, I personally would much prefer to pay the extra bit of tax and be guaranteed a better health service. But we've never had that argument politically.
Yeah, but not contradicting you, Doctor, but to some extent we did, in that, you know, this is kind of what Fine Gael were promising in the last election, and a lot of the communication we were getting was that, no, leave those taxes and spend the money, you know, that... Yeah. But it'll be interesting to see if that was made a benchmark of an election campaign, what the reaction would be. But I don't think there is many political parties that would take that chance, and maybe that points to the flawed political system that we have.
I think that's exactly it. I think, you know, there's very, very few politicians who are going to stand up and say, we need to be paying more income tax, we need to be paying more taxes, because they won't get elected again. And then who do we blame? We have to blame ourselves for, you know, not grasping the bullet and the reality of the situation that we face, and how to deal with it.